The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good. So good.
There are effective solutions to a number of health problems, from acne to thyroid. There are amazing combinations of medical and nutritional solutions. Welcome to Ask Lorna Live with host Lorna Vanderhaeg. Our program is a frank, lively discussion that can help you feel fit and fabulous. Now here's your host, Lorna Vanderhaeg.
Well, good morning, everyone. We have a snowfall warning here in Vancouver, Canada, so the big snowflakes are finally falling, and it feels like Christmas. Today, we're going to talk about heart disease and how to prevent it using natural remedies, diet, lifestyle, nutritional supplements. And when we look at the statistics for heart disease, it's kind of scary. You know, every 7 minutes, someone dies from heart disease or stroke. 1 in 3 American adults have one or more types of cardiovascular disease, and 30% of all deaths last year in men were due to cardiovascular disease, and 33% of all deaths in women. So more women are dying of heart attacks than men are. So that's a huge change since the 1950s, when we saw more men dying of cardiovascular disease than women. And although heart disease is a leading killer, it's preventable. It's reversible. Nobody should be developing cardiovascular disease. And if your mom or dad have cardiovascular disease, then you need to eat better than them. You need to change your lifestyle immediately. Like other diseases such as diabetes and cancer, it doesn't have to result in millions of patients who clutter hospitals, fill drug prescription, and require expensive operations. No matter what your age, regardless of whether you're 19 or 90, you can strengthen your heart. And we have the power within ourselves to make the right choices in regards to diet, lifestyle, exercise, and nutritional supplements to stop heart disease in its tracks. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And there's so much confusion in regards to high cholesterol. So I thought we'd start off with cholesterol first. I've got a lot of questions, a lot of the same questions regarding high cholesterol. So I'll sort of give an overview on cholesterol, and then we'll get into the questions and talk about the solutions. So there are a few substances as controversial as cholesterol, and no substance about which there is more confusion. So we need cholesterol, as the body uses it for patch and repair. So you have to have it. It can also play an undesirable role in hardening or thickening of the arteries. But when small injuries or nicks occur in the arteries, cholesterol, which acts as your internal band-aid, can get out of control, and with the help of other factors, it clogs up the arteries and increases our risk of heart attack and heart damage. But cholesterol is also a good guy. You've heard me talk about cholesterol in earlier shows, because it's used as the building blocks to make your hormones. It's used to repair damage in the body. So we need to have cholesterol. We need to have healthy cholesterol. But unfortunately, the bad cholesterol can really create a problem. So bad cholesterol, which we call the LDL, or the lousy cholesterol. So if you're trying to remember what LDL is, it's the lousy cholesterol. It contributes to heart disease, but it's kept in line by the good cholesterol, which we call the healthy or the happy cholesterol. And the healthy cholesterol sweeps the bad cholesterol through the body. Oxidized bad cholesterol is really where the problem comes in. And this is when plaque, like a layer of plaque in your arteries, is formed. Inflammation also happens, and damage to neighboring cells. Interestingly enough, a high sugar diet, or a diet high in refined carbohydrates, is a big contributor to oxidized cholesterol. So diet is so important. About 40% of North Americans have higher than recommended cholesterol levels, although it's important to remember that the recommendations for what level your cholesterol should be at is constantly changing. And it was believed that your total cholesterol, measured by adding LDL, the lousy cholesterol, and the healthy cholesterol together, was the best predictor for heart disease. It's now believed that the ratio of your total cholesterol to healthy cholesterol is more accurate. For people with zero or one risk factor for developing heart disease in the next 10 years, a ratio of 6-1 is considered acceptable. However, if you are moderate or high risk of developing heart disease with two or more risk factors, smoking, obesity, the category into which most people fall, maintaining a lower ratio through diet, lifestyle, supplements, and fitness is important. And generally, the lower the ratio, the better. So when we look at what the ideal levels are for total cholesterol, in the U.S., it's less than 200. In Canada, it would be less than 5.2. If you're over 240 in the U.S., that's dangerously high. And in Canada, if you're above 6.2. The lousy cholesterol, we want it to be less than 100 if you're in the U.S. and less than 2.6 in Canada. And the good cholesterol, the HDL cholesterol, you want to have it below 40 in the U.S. and you want to have it below 1.0 in Canada. So good cholesterol. Let's look at good cholesterol because HDL or good cholesterol is particularly important to women. For women, having a low good cholesterol is even more of a risk factor than having high bad. So that's important. So have for women, having a low good cholesterol is worse than having a high bad cholesterol. Even small decreases in good cholesterol after menopause in women significantly increases the risk of heart disease. In fact, good cholesterol is so protective that a low amount is considered an independent risk factor for heart disease. So all on its own, we can say that just having low good cholesterol is bad. Maintaining a healthy cholesterol profile is totally achievable, and 9 out of 10 people can lower their bad cholesterol, improve their good cholesterol with dietary changes and nutritional supplements alone. Only 10% of people will require medication to keep cholesterol levels in check. This is probably a big shock to you, considering that cholesterol-lowering statin drugs are the number one prescribed drug in North America, and that every time official recommended cholesterol levels drop, as they have many times over the last decade, millions more North Americans are then encouraged to take pharmaceuticals to lower cholesterol, which is crazy. How low is too low when it comes to lousy cholesterol? This point is really important because some research indicates that low cholesterol may serve more as a physiological purpose than previously thought. Researchers reported in the Canadian Medical Association Journal last year that LDL cholesterol, so lousy cholesterol levels below 2.8, were both associated with an increased risk of cancer. So this study examined type 2 diabetics who are prime consumers of cholesterol-lowering drugs because one of the secondary problems of having diabetes is that you develop high cholesterol. And so what they found was that there was a link between diabetes and heart disease, which we already know. But this is really important that having low levels of LDL, high levels of LDL cholesterol is associated with an elevated risk of cancer. Another point to the need the question to current cholesterol assumptions is that many heart attack victims have normal cholesterol levels. 50% of people who have a heart attack have normal cholesterol levels and normal blood pressure. So this is huge, 50%. So these are people who think that they have no risk for heart disease and they have a heart attack. So in numerous studies, including a study in 2009 that looked at almost 137,000 Americans hospitalized for heart attacks between 2000 and 2006, 72% had cholesterol levels suggesting that they were not at risk for cardiovascular disease. Cholesterol isn't the universal bad guy, and although cholesterol is a factor for heart health, it's not the only factor that we should be considering. And I just got an email about the Canadian Medical Association Journal, so someone wants me to repeat this. But researchers reported in the Canadian Medical Association Journal that lousy cholesterol levels that were below 2.8 and levels of at least 3.9 were both associated with an elevated risk of cancer. So remember, cholesterol is your patch and repair in the body. So when you don't have enough of it, they've actually found a direct link to cancer. So everything is about moderation. Another important test to have is C-reactive protein. And C-reactive protein is an inflammatory protein produced during the liver. In those 50% of people who had heart attacks who had normal cholesterol and blood pressure, they believe that CRP may be playing a role. So there was a big study at Harvard involving physicians. Men with the highest CRP levels were 3 times more likely to have a heart attack and twice as likely to have a stroke than men with lower levels. And 1 year later, a study looked at C-reactive protein in women, and they found that the CRP marker, or the blood test, was a better predictor of heart attack or stroke. So you want to have a CRP between 0.5 and 1, and anyone who has a CRP above 3 should definitely start changing their diet and taking nutritional supplements to reverse it. And you want to ask your doctor for a high CRP blood test. So if you've got a CRP above 3, you've got to get busy right away to fix this. And when they looked at women who developed cardiovascular events had higher CRP levels than controls, and those with the highest levels had a 5-fold increase in the risk of any kind of vascular event, strokes, heart attacks. And women on hormone replacement therapy have to be particularly careful because estrogen increases inflammation in the body and elevates CRP to dangerous levels, increasing the risk of heart attack and stroke. So when we come back from the break, I've got a bunch of questions from Michael, Mary, Terry, and we'll talk about what we can do to lower cholesterol levels naturally.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Have you tried everything to lose weight and still can't budge that belly fat? Do you know that skin tags are the earliest warning sign of diabetes? Well, busting belly fat and normalizing blood sugar just got easier. Over 30 research studies have shown that quercetin found in GlucoSmart can get rid of belly fat fast in both men and women. Get Lorna Vanderhaeg's weight loss book free when you purchase GlucoSmart at www.hormonehealth.com. That's hormonehealth.com.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
It's Ask Lorna Live. To speak with Lorna or her guest today, call into our program at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send in an email to AskLorna at hormonehealth.com. Now, back to the show.
Well, before the break, we were talking about cholesterol and that cholesterol is a good guy and that, yes, we don't want to have too much cholesterol. Michael emailed that he's been taking statin drugs and his legs are in such terrible pain. He wants to know if it could be the drugs, and it absolutely could be. We need to start reading the warning labels that come along with the medications that we're on. And this is one of the serious warnings of statin medications. A lot of people get terrible muscle pain. The statin drugs, these are things like Lipitor, Mevacor, Zocor, Crestor, they can deplete your body of coenzyme Q10. And coenzyme Q10 is a heart protective nutrient. We're going to talk about it a little later in the show. And when you become depleted in CoQ10, you get this horrific, terrible muscle pain. It's also an indicator that you should be going back to your doctor and stopping the drug. This is a very important thing to note. And your pharmacist should actually warn you about this, that if you get muscle pain, you're not a candidate to take statin medications. And this is where we definitely want to change your diet. Remember, only 10% of people with high cholesterol need to take cholesterol-lowering medications. The rest of us can change our cholesterol levels with diet. And it's not about oatmeal. I have so many people who tell me they eat oatmeal and that's to lower their cholesterol. Well, oatmeal's a great food to eat, but it's not going to lower your cholesterol. You need to eat vegetables, 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 and lots of them. They did a study in people who had familial high cholesterol. So these are the people who have a family genetic condition that causes high cholesterol. Doctors will tell you you have to treat it with medication. But what they did with this group was they took them out of their home. They fed them 7 pounds of vegetables within 1 week, 7 pounds of vegetables a day. Within 1 week, every single person in the study had their cholesterol drop by 25 points. Many more of them had it drop by much, much more than that. So it's all about fiber. And you want to have lots of vegetables because the vegetables work to have the cholesterol locks onto the fiber and it's removed from the body in your bowel movements. So you want to have ground flax seeds, chia seeds. You know, here in Canada, we have a cereal called Holy Crap that was on the Dragon's Den, and it contains all of these great fibrous materials that can help to lower your cholesterol. So, Michael, you need to go back to your doctor, talk to your doctor about the fact that you have this terrible pain in your legs, and they need to put you on a different medication, or better yet, start lowering cholesterol naturally. Another nutrient that's really important for lowering cholesterol is called citronol. And this is a very unique nutrient that's been found to lower cholesterol very effectively, and it lowers bad cholesterol and increases good cholesterol. And there's not many things out there that increase good cholesterol. So it's called citronol. I'll spell it for you. S-Y-T-R-I-N-O-L. And I would take this every single day. You can use it while you're on the statin medications for a month before you decide you want to stop your medications. And then when you stop the medication, I double the dose of citronol. Mary emailed that she's been trying to reduce her cholesterol with diet, but it hasn't worked. Whenever I hear this thing, I always go, well, first off, you're not eating enough vegetables. And you should have a mountain of vegetables all day long. So, you know, get yourself a Ziploc bag, a large freezer Ziploc bag, and fill it with all kinds of vegetables and eat them throughout the day. Also have vegetables on your plate at dinner. You want to change the fats in your diet to extra virgin olive oil, organic coconut butter. Get rid of all the processed fats. The anything that's a clear oil, you definitely don't want to be consuming it. And alcohol is a huge problem. If you're consuming alcohol, no end of diet change is going to lower your cholesterol. So I suggest that you reduce alcohol consumption to, you know, maybe on the weekends, you have a glass of wine with dinner. If you're going to drink wine, it should be red wine because it has lots of resveratrol, which is so fantastic for heart health. And overall, if you've got high cholesterol, I'd cut out the alcohol altogether for a while, increase your vegetable consumption dramatically, add things like citronol, fish oils. We're going to talk about omega-3 shortly as well. Terry has diabetes. She's emailed as well. She's on many drugs, statins, insulin. She wants to know what she can do. Well, if you've got diabetes, the sad fact is if you don't change what's going on with your diet, diabetics have on average their life cut by 10 to 15 years. So diabetics die 10 to 15 years before the average North American simply due to the cardiovascular side effects that occur as a secondary side effect of having diabetes. So the first thing you want to do is lose weight. Pick up a copy of my book, A Smart Woman's Guide to Weight Loss, and start to follow the diet. And the diet actually will help lower cholesterol and increase your good cholesterol by eating lots and lots of veggies, good clean sources of protein, healthy fats, get rid of the sugars. You know, every time you have a sugar craving, eat a blueberry. You know, I always tell people freeze blueberries and eat them frozen because they're great for blood sugar balance. And they also help stop that craving for sugars. Another one is frozen grapes also can help when you've got those sugar cravings. But follow the Smart Woman's Guide to Weight Loss, another nutritional supplement that I've talked about before on the show that's so important for diabetics is quercetol. It's sold under the name GlucoSmart, and this will get your blood sugar and insulin balanced as well. So you would be somebody who would be changing their diet dramatically, Terry. You'd also take citronol to lower your cholesterol. You'd want to take the GlucoSmart to help get your diabetes under control. And the bottom line is, as soon as you lose weight, your diabetes is going to go away. So the sad fact that our doctors do not tell people with type 2 diabetes is the reason why you have the type 2 diabetes is because you make the wrong food choices and you're overweight. So if we shift your diet to a healthy diet, get you walking even 30 minutes a day, this should help to put things back into the correct range. Let's talk about high blood pressure because this is another big factor. Why do we get high blood pressure? What's really going on in our arteries? Well, imagine trying to squeeze your dishwashing liquid bottle through a bottle head that has become caked and blocked with solidified soap. You have to press harder to get it out, and when it does, it shoots out erratically. Well, a similar kind of disturbance occurs in people with high blood pressure or hypertension. With high blood pressure, the heart muscle contracts too forcefully and sends blood driving through the body with excess strength. Clogged arteries can create additional resistance that causes damage in the sensitive inner layer of the artery, and this wear and tear then promotes the plaque buildup. Why? Because the body goes, uh-oh, there's a problem in the artery. Let's make more cholesterol to patch on the wall of the artery. And that leads to heart disease. So people with high blood pressure are more than twice as likely to have a heart attack compared to people with normal blood pressure. And hypertension or high blood pressure also strains and eventually weakens the heart, while very high blood pressure can cause blood vessels to burst in the brain, causing a stroke. So the big factor with high blood pressure is the increased risk of stroke. What are the things that cause high blood pressure? Age is a big one. And we find blood pressure generally increases with age. I think it's just simply because we haven't taken care of ourselves when we're younger. A poor diet is another one. Magnesium deficiency, that's a big one. I'm going to talk about it in a minute. Too much alcohol, lack of exercise. You know, even 10, 20, 30 minutes of walking a day is going to make a huge difference in high blood pressure. Obesity or simply being overweight, stress is another contributor to high blood pressure. Another health condition that you have, say kidney disease or thyroid disease, low thyroid, will also contribute to high blood pressure. Pregnancy can. Birth control pills is another one. Other drugs that also can increase blood pressure include cold and allergy pills. So when we look at blood pressure, there's always two parts, you know, 120 over 80. So the top number is called the systolic pressure, and the bottom number is called the diastolic. And the higher the top number reading represents the pressure just after your heart beats. That means when your heart contracts and pushes blood out into the arteries. The lower reading is the pressure while your heart is at rest, so refilling with blood between beats. The ideal adult blood pressure reading is less than 120 over 80. And when we look at optimal levels, 120 over 80 would be great. Normal, less than 130 over 85. And then high is considered 130 to 139. If you're over 140, you have hypertension. So a new category of high blood pressure is called prehypertension, which is between 130 and 139. And 60% of people with pre-hypertension will graduate to high blood pressure or hypertension within 4 years unless they make heart-healthy diet changes, walk, and all of those things. I got an email from Josephine. She's on blood pressure medication, but she's having problems with feeling agitated. She says it's not working very well, and she wants to know what she can do. Well, we use magnesium. Magnesium used to be, before all the fancy high blood pressure drugs, magnesium was the treatment for high blood pressure. And you have to use the right kind of magnesium, magnesium bisglycinate. And I would start out using MagSmart because it has taurine, it has B vitamins, it helps lower homocysteine. It also gets that blood pressure in balance. And I take a scoop of MagSmart at bedtime and a scoop during the day, say in your water bottle. Some people will need 3 scoops to get off their high blood pressure medication. So I would tell the doctor that you want to come off your high blood pressure medication, what you're going to do, and start with 2 scoops of MagSmart, one at bedtime and one during the day. And if you have to, you may add a 3rd scoop. Generally, most people are off their high blood pressure medications in a couple of weeks using MagSmart. You should also change your diet towards veggies, good clean sources of protein, healthy fats, and we're going to talk about fats in a minute, and get out there and walk. Even if you just walk 10 minutes a day, if you don't have time to go walking, then buy yourself a rebounder. That's a little trampoline, sits about 6 inches off the floor, and you bounce on it. You don't bounce up and down off the bed of the rebounder, but you just bounce on it. Joseph also emailed. He's on blood pressure medication, but he's having erectile dysfunction, and he wants to know if it's caused by his high blood pressure medication. The answer is a resounding yes. I can guarantee you, if doctors told men that when they put them on this high blood pressure medication that they may have erectile dysfunction, they definitely wouldn't take it. So, Joseph, you would also be somebody who would want to start on the program of magnesium bisglycinate from MagSmart, as well as changing your diet, walking, de-stressing your life. You know, simple things like deep breathing exercises. Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. In through your nose, out through your mouth. And this can lower your blood pressure. Interestingly enough, just having a pet lowers blood pressure as well. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk to you at length about magnesium and how important it is for lowering high blood pressure.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Cancer is not something to be taken lightly. But instead of being talked at by doctors, medical providers, and others, wouldn't it be nice to hear from a host who has worked at the Cancer Coalface for 38 years as a caregiver, supporter for 14,000 patients, and who has had the experience of having a life-threatening condition herself? You will hear the stories of survivors and other people who work in breakthrough cancer medicine. Navigating the Cancer Maze with host Grace Galler will help you with the facts, planning, and grief experienced with different forms and stages of cancer. Listen every Friday at 12 noon U.S. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Have you tried everything to lose weight and still can't budge that belly fat? Do you know that skin tags are the earliest warning sign of diabetes? Well, busting belly fat and normalizing blood sugar just got easier. Over 30 research studies have shown that quercetin found in GlucoSmart can get rid of belly fat fast in both men and women. Get Lorna Vanderhaeg's weight loss book free when you purchase GlucoSmart at www.hormonehealth.com. That's hormonehealth.com.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
It's Ask Lorna Live. To speak with Lorna or her guest today, call into our program at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send in an email to asklorna@hormonehelp.com. Now, back to the show.
I wanted to also remind you that when you go to the website at www.hormonehelp.com, so that's the word hormone and the word help, go under the book button. I have a free book, so it's free on the website to read, your 30-day heart smart solution. And in the book, it talks about absolutely everything you can do to treat every different heart condition that's out there. I also have a bigger book that's available in bookstores called A Smart Woman's Guide to Heart Health. And that's because, of course, heart disease is the leading killer of women. So before the break, we were talking about magnesium. We had a couple of questions from people who wanted to get off their high blood pressure medications. And so I want to talk about magnesium because not all magnesium is created equal. So we've got to know a little bit more about magnesium. So magnesium supplements have a significant effect on lowering high blood pressure, and Japanese researchers have finally clarified why they've had some inconsistent results in research. So some research studies show that magnesium lowers high blood pressure, and other studies did not. So there's all this conflicting research. What they found, Japanese research followed individuals over an 8-week period and showed that blood pressure was significantly lowered while taking magnesium. And the higher the blood pressure, the faster and the larger the decrease was found when people took magnesium. So researchers have now understood that magnesium acts to relax the blood vessels, an effect proven to help lower blood pressure. And when blood vessels are constricted, so not relaxed, the heart works harder to pump blood through the body, causing blood pressure to increase. Women should be really interested in magnesium supplements if they have high blood pressure, because often the traditional high blood pressure medications don't work as well as women. But magnesium supplements work fabulously in women to normalize high blood pressure. And high blood pressure medication, as we learned earlier when I talked to Joseph, can cause erectile dysfunction in men. Remember, erections are all about pressure, and if you lower pressure, then of course we're going to have this problem. With this in mind, men should be using natural remedies to reduce high blood pressure as well. So not all magnesium supplements are created equal. Magnesium supplements come in various salt forms, so as well as bound to amino acids, and those are the ones I like. The absorption rate and tolerability varies greatly between magnesium supplements. Many of the magnesium supplements, like magnesium citrate, is poorly tolerated by people because it has such a massive laxative effect. So magnesium citrate's designed to suck water into your colon to flush everything out, flush out the waste. So that's great if you are looking for a laxative, not so good if you're looking for a magnesium supplement to lower your high blood pressure. So what we want to look for is magnesium bisglycinate, magnesium that is bound to an amino acid, and this ensures that the magnesium actually gets into the cells and can do its job. And remember, our muscles are loaded with magnesium. Magnesium is actually the muscle mineral. That's a hard one to say a few times quickly. And our heart is the largest muscle in the body, so we definitely need to be taking magnesium to support that big muscle. MagSmart contains magnesium bisglycinate along with taurine, B vitamins, some selenium, and the average daily dose is 1 to 2 scoops a day to lower high blood pressure. We talked earlier in the show about omega-3s, and they really are the superstars for cardiovascular health. And these fats also play a role in brain function, normal growth and development. Omega-3 fatty acids are found in fish, algae, krill, seed oils, calamari, flax. But when we look at fish and fish oils, they're really starting to get mainstream attention after the American Heart Association published a scientific statement in Circulation. They noted that fish oils reduce triglycerides in the blood and inhibited the manufacture of the very low density proteins, as well as apolipoprotein B and bad cholesterols. Omega-3s from fish were found to reduce blood platelet stickiness, so it makes things move smoother, reduce blood pressure in those with high hypertension, and reduce high cholesterol. They also found omega-3s influence blood clotting factors, reduce those plaque deposits on the wall, and reduce inflammation. So the Nurses' Health Study, which followed more than 84,000 women for 16 years, noted that women who rarely ate fish less than once a month had a higher risk of dying of heart disease, and the risk dropped relative to how often the women ate fish. In another study, men who ate two fish meals a week reduced their heart attack risk by 50%. And other studies have noted that fish consumption protects against stroke and cardiovascular disease. Well, there are problems with fish, too, and I'll talk about how mercury, which is found, unfortunately, in high levels in some fish, also contributes to heart disease. So when we look at omega-3s from food, so let's find out where we can get them from our food first, because it's always best to eat these things. Flax seeds, so a quarter of a cup has 7 grams of omega-3s. Walnuts, a quarter of a cup, have 2.3 grams. A salmon also has lots of omega-3s. Scallops, halibut, snapper, even things like winter squash, and here we are in the winter, so we can start to consume squash, have omega-3s, kidney beans, and cod. When we look at mercury, this is a big issue, and I was talking to somebody last night who consumes a lot of fish, and we were discussing high mercury levels, which many, many people have. So you can always go have a simple blood test to find out what your mercury levels are. But mercury and other heavy metals are highly toxic to the brain, and they also promote free radical formation and hinder the body's ability to protect us against all these bad free radicals. Dr. Mark Serkis, who's the author of Magnesium, the Ultimate Heart Medicine. So I love that title because magnesium is truly the ultimate heart medicine. He calls mercury the most potent enzyme inhibitor that exists. And how true this statement is, the heart's overall function, electrical impulse system. So the heart's like an electrical machine. And its contractive abilities are severely impacted by mercury. So mercury is stored in the heart, and where it's further implicated in oxidative stress, inflammation, smooth muscle dysfunction, unhealthy blood fat and cholesterol levels. One 2002 study of Finnish men found that those with the highest concentrations of mercury also had the highest rates of death from cardiovascular disease, heart failure, and stroke. We're exposed to mercury through our dental fillings. So if you've got those silver fillings in your mouth, you really should have them removed. Every time you chew, you are releasing mercury into your mercury vapor and mercury into your system. We're exposed to mercury through environmental contamination, vaccine ingredients like thimerosal, which is a preservative, fish and seafood consumption. In addition to reducing mercury exposure, we should all protect ourselves with the most powerful mercury antidote. And the mercury antidote is selenium. Selenium is an overlooked superstar when it comes to heart protection. Not only is this mineral important for thyroid and immune function, and its recognized anti-cancer effects, but a deficiency in selenium also increases hardening of the arteries and the risk of heart attack and death from coronary artery disease. And selenium counteracts mercury's effects. So when you have adequate amounts of selenium, mercury gets turfed out of the system. For women, you should pay attention to this. It has been discovered that women with low iron have higher rates of mercury because iron also kicks mercury out of the system. So selenium and mercury have a strong affinity to one another. They bind together in the body so that this renders mercury unavailable to do damage. So you have to have enough selenium. People who eat a lot of seafood have built-in protection when they eat high selenium nori or seaweed. So that's probably why the Japanese can consume more fish and not have such severe mercury poisoning, is because they also consume seaweed or nori as well. Other foods that contain selenium include meat, seafood, dairy foods, whole grains, nuts, particularly Brazil nuts in the shell, which are always a Christmas favorite, a red Swiss chard, turnips, garlic, and orange juice. Since selenium is not distributed properly throughout the Earth's crust, so we have some areas of the globe that have lots of selenium and others don't, we need to probably take a supplement. You want to take selenomethionine, which is the best absorbed form of selenium. So it's called selenomethionine. And this is a much safer form than selenite or selenate. So you want to have organic forms of selenium, such as selenomethionine, which is selenium bound to methionine. It's found in plants. And this will boost your body's stores of selenium and help to protect you. The American Heart Association does recommend eating fish twice a week, but they definitely acknowledge the presence of environmental contaminants, especially mercury, and in many types of fish and seafood as well. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, advises children and women who are pregnant to avoid eating fish, things like shark, swordfish, mackerel, tilefish, tuna, and be very, very careful. So mercury is I go to this website, I love it, www.gotmercury.org, O-R-G, to determine a weekly suggested seafood limit on depending on your personal weight. So if you are concerned about PCBs, metals, and other toxic substances in fish and fish oils but want the benefits of omega-3s, I suggest we look at calamari oil, which is a great alternative to the standard fish oils. One thing you have to realize, flax oil does not give you EPA and DHA. Fish oil gives you both EPA and DHA. And when we come back after the break, I'll talk to Kara, who gets terrible digestive problems with fish oils. She wants to know what else she can take. We'll talk about other sources of omega-3s and how we can get enough omega-3 in our diet without getting all these contaminants from the environment. So when we come back, we'll talk about omega-3s, and we'll also discuss, is aspirin really good for your health?
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Have you tried everything to lose weight and still can't budge that belly fat? Do you know that skin tags are the earliest warning sign of diabetes? Well, busting belly fat and normalizing blood sugar just got easier. Over 30 research studies have shown that quercetol found in GlucoSmart can get rid of belly fat fast in both men and women. Get Lorna Vanderhaeg's weight loss book free when you purchase GlucoSmart at www.hormonehealth.com. That's hormonehealth.com.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
I feel good.
It's Ask Lorna Live. To speak with Lorna or her guest today, call into our program at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send in an email to AskLorna at hormonehealth.com. Now, back to the show.
Well, just before the break, Kara sent in an email saying she gets terrible digestive problems with fish oil. She gets this burp back, she calls it, and she just can't take them. What else is there out there? She doesn't like fish anyway, so fish wouldn't have been an option for her to consume. I love calamari oil. You know, calamari oil does not cause that terrible burp back or that repeating, you know, you take your fish oil supplement and an hour later you're tasting it in the back of your mouth. Awful, awful thing. So fish oils are well known for their heart healthy effects, but containing the fatty acids EPA and DHA, fish oils are really important for eye, brain, colon health. Calamari is a great alternative to fish oil. It comes from the South American calamari squid. The great thing about calamari that I love is it's sustainable, meaning that they can harvest it quickly. They grow calamari on land in these big ponds, so we don't have the environmental disaster that fish oil, fish farming is creating. I live on the west coast of British Columbia, and when you fly up the coast, you can see literally hundreds and hundreds of fish farms all up and down the coast of British Columbia that are contaminating our waters and, you know, increasing the sea lice population. It's an absolute cesspool around these fish farms. So they never show those on TV because I can guarantee you that people would be up in arms. So calamari is a squid. They grow it in these big tanks. It has a very short lifespan, so it turns over quickly. It doesn't get heavy metal contamination because of that, and it gives this beautiful omega-3 fatty acid that is super rich in DHA. And DHA is important because it makes up 40% of the essential fats in your brain. Calamari is more stable than fish oils, making it less prone to rancidity, that awful burning taste that you get from rancid fish fats. Also, calamari oil does not cause the fishy aftertaste. So this is why, Kara, you should go look for calamari. We have a product called CaliQ Plus, which is calamari oil along with coenzyme Q10, carnitine, and some B vitamins. So I'll talk about that in a minute. But DHA is superior for lowering high blood pressure. So earlier on, we were talking about using magnesium. You'd also want to add the CaliQ Plus if you have high blood pressure. And DHA is more potent at improving circulation. DHA is also the key to raising good cholesterol. And DHA, not EPA. So you have DHA and EPA in fish oil. You have DHA and EPA in CaliQ Plus or in calamari oil, but you have far more DHA in calamari oil. So calamari also, DHA also supports your brain, and it is the best fatty acid for eye health. So if you care about the environment, calamari oil is your best choice as it comes from deep water, spawns quickly, multiplies fast, and does not have the same heavy metals like mercury that fish oil does. The other great thing about calamari oil is that it also supports a heart, healthy heart. It normalizes high blood pressure. It lowers bad cholesterol, so the lousy cholesterol, raises good cholesterol. It also normalizes C-reactive protein. Earlier in the show, I talked about how important it is to have a C-reactive protein test done. Well, calamari oil normalizes C-reactive protein. So if you're that person who gets a high CRP test result, you want to go on the CaliQ Plus and, of course, super rich in DHA. I'll talk a little bit about CaliQ Plus so you know what else is in this great nutrient. L-carnitine fumarate, and carnitine fumarate helps CoQ10 do its job. Carnitine is a super antioxidant needed by your heart, your brain cells, and your arteries, and CaliQ Plus contains the most absorbable form of carnitine in the form of fumarate. Coenzyme Q10, now this is really the super heart nutrient, and every single person should be taking CoQ10 from the time they're about 30 years old until they die. CoQ10 is found in almost every cell in your body. It's called the spark of life, providing a powerful energy boost. And people on statin medication should definitely be supplementing with CoQ10. As we discussed earlier, statin medications deplete the body of CoQ10, which can cause terrible muscle pain because your muscles are loaded with mitochondria that make CoQ10. And when your CoQ10 levels drop, your risk of heart attack goes up. CalQ Plus provides triple support for lowering blood pressure with calamari oil, CoQ10, and additional B vitamins. And CoQ10 has also been used to treat gum disease, which is linked to poor heart health. People with gum disease have a much higher risk of heart attack. And CalQ Plus contains the most absorbable form of CoQ10 in an oil form, and just a super nutrient all around. There's a small amount of vitamin E as well in CalQ Plus, and the vitamin E is D-alpha tocopherol. It has 50 IUs, and vitamin E, when combined with coenzyme Q10, keeps the bad cholesterol from clogging up your arteries. Vitamin E is also important in the prevention and treatment of heart disease, cancer, Alzheimer's, rheumatoid arthritis, and more. CalQ Plus also contains pyridoxal 5-phosphate, which is the most absorbable form of vitamin B6, and folic acid, which is important for heart health, as well as vitamin B12. I want to talk a bit about aspirin before we end the show today. And, you know, we've been recommending aspirin. Well, not me. I've never recommended aspirin, but doctors have been recommending baby aspirin to people to reduce heart attack and stroke for, I think, about a decade now. And finally, they've reported the research accurately. Aspirin is not good for us. That's the bottom line. And Professor Jerry Folks presented the University of Edinburgh's research at the European Society of Cardiology Congress in Barcelona, where over 30,000 heart specialists from around the world had gathered. He said, "Our research suggests that aspirin should not be prescribed to the general population. At least 6 previous studies have indicated that frequent doses of aspirin could lower the risk of heart attacks and have prompted many of the worried well to take the pills." They looked in their study at 3,350 patients aged 50 to 75 who were thought to be at risk of heart attack but had not showed any symptoms. Over 8 years, 181 of those taking aspirin on a daily basis had heart attacks or strokes, compared to 176 who were taking placebos. Moreover, 2% of those on aspirin were taken to the hospital with gastrointestinal hemorrhages, compared to 1.2% of those taking placebo. So increased risk of gastrointestinal hemorrhages or bleeds. You know, I had a gentleman at one of my talks who came up to me and he said, "Look at me." He says, "I'm covered in all these big purple bruises." I said to him, "Are you taking baby aspirin?" He says, "Absolutely, every single day." So he was getting small bleeds as a result of taking all of this baby aspirin, and he'd been taking it for years and years and years. So we have, in women especially, they have to be careful with aspirin because they're the ones who get more of the gastrointestinal hemorrhages or gut bleeds. So, you know, and then leading to anemia and other problems. So aspirin is not the way to go. We want to look at nutritional supplements, and I just want to recap what we've talked about today before the show ends. High blood pressure, you want to take CalQ Plus, MagSmart. Those are the two key things. You want to change your diet, lots and lots of veggies, good clean sources of protein, healthy fats from extra virgin olive oil and coconut butter. You know, butter's not bad for us. We just should eat it in moderation. Coconut butter is even better. Get rid of all the processed fats in your life. You know, all of those highly processed oils, vegetable oils that we're consuming are increasing our risk of heart disease. Remember this final parting quote: you need to change your diet, eat more vegetables, de-stress your life, get out there and walk, lose some weight, because 30% of people are dying of heart attacks and strokes. And this is 100% preventable. None of us have to be on all of these medications. And I suggest you go up to the website, read my free book, Your 30-Day Heart Smart Solution. Also, you can ask me further questions under the Ask Lorna button on the website, where we have a forum where myself and the nutritionists who work in the office answer your questions. Next week, we're going to talk about estrogen-dominant conditions. That's fibroids and breast lumps and ovarian cysts and breast cancer. And so everyone have a wonderful holiday season and Merry Christmas. And we'll talk to you next week after Christmas is over.
Thanks for listening to Ask Lorna Live. Please join us again next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll talk again soon.
And I feel nice. I feel the response. I feel nice. I feel the response.